The basis of universal unity. Well, the basis of theosophy is that there is that one source from which all of life has come. Unknowable, unknown, beginningless and endless, eternal, boundless, immutable, omnipresent. That is the basis of all of life. That basis is analogized in the idea that we are a great array of that sun. We are a drop in that great ocean. So in essence, we are rays of light. In fact, all of life are rays of light that have entered into every kingdom, every aspect of life. So what we are saying is that all of life is alive. Everything, everywhere. There is no empty space. There is no vacuum. That this ray of light is eternal. This is an idea that is at the foundation of theosophy, because this idea unites us all with everything and everyone, because everything and everyone are rays of that light, of that eternal sun. So that makes us in our nature immortal. And if we would only come to understand that and believe that, we would lead a different kind of life. Because each life is the accumulation of the living that we have done. But we see universally that if we're all light and we come into manifestation, what happens to us is that we're covered with matter. We enter into matter and we lose our sense of connectedness until we begin to realize through our consciousness that we are not separate, that only this accumulation of matter that we have around us, that we use as a vehicle for getting in touch on this lower plane and affecting all of life, is just another expression of unity. Unity is the law of nature. That's the law of life, unity. Karma, what is karma? Well, it puts back into harmony that which we have taken out of harmony. The whole philosophy of theosophy is about unity. Everywhere you look, it's about unity, universal brotherhood. You know, it's not an ideal in nature. It's a fact in nature. So it makes it a fact in us. So what do we think? What do we believe? Well, that affects every aspect of our life. You know, that if we sit and we ponder our very being, we look at these bodies and what they're made up of and what kind of organization is represented by the systems in our body. Our circulatory system, our blood, our heart, our lungs, our kidneys. I mean, every aspect is a organization, a unity that performs a certain function. So there is an intelligence that pervades everything. So again, where's the basis of this unity? Well, in the light. What do I mean by in the light? Well, by opening the mind up and letting go of the preconceived ideas that one has become attached to, and realize that without the unity of all the other kingdoms, we would not exist. But we exist because we are spiritual beings and we have created these forms. We are spiritual beings. We look at ourselves and we think, well, where are these bodies? We're physical beings. Yes, that's an aspect of it. But that's a temporary aspect of us. Temporary. That tomorrow our body will change. And the day after that, it'll change more. And we'll look at us now in the mirror. Have we changed? We certainly have. Because life is change. And that unity is a constant birth, decay, destruction, and disappearance. And it goes on every moment in our bodies. There's a constant exchange of atoms and molecules and influences. Look at ourselves. When we perspire, well, we perspire, but we put out a heat, a sort of a force field around us that when we are with other people, we interact and we share. We share in our energy. We are not isolated. We look and we see separate things and separate things, but that's only an illusion. We're electrodynamic beings that through magnetic energy, we attract to us those things that we need. Opposites attract, likes repel. So here we are. We're attracted to each other in this study. It's a unity because there is only why do we come together? Well, it's a unity of purpose. And that we have discovered these teachings that are easily assimilated by the population. By everyone. But the material life has made everyone blind. They are caught up in the darkness. So, theosophy is the uniting factor in the progress of humanity. Now, we look at the fact that man has preached the fact in all their religions that universal brotherhood is an ideal. It can never be achieved. And what happens is that that very announcement breaks the very law of harmony. Because we have examples of beings who have perfected themselves, who have united themselves with their higher nature, which is the nature of all of us. We all share in that higher nature. We hold that higher nature up to be our guru, our Mahatma, our perfectibility. And that's the teachings of theosophy, that we are all perfectible. That this idea of being born into original sin only chains the mind down. You know, there's a, we are asked, because we live in such a dark age of a lot of great deal of materialism, is to let our mind be refreshed by these ideas, you know, and to read things that are inspiring and that are heartfelt and that are hopeful and that are positive. So we invite you to read the teachings of Robert Crosby and William Q. Judge and H.P. Blavatsky. And in these teachings of this unity, or this universal unity, is the idea that there is an order called the Order of Sublime Perfection, which every effort of Rosicrucians, mystics, and Masons, and even initiates, are toward the arousing in the heart and the mind of men of this order of sublime perfection. And this is to state that there is and there are those beings who have raised themselves up to perfection. That is the stature of the Godhead, of what universal brotherhood is. And that because of this, that there are those that have reached up to this perfectibility, is a shining example that this idea of universal brotherhood is not, or universal unity, is not an ideal, but it is really a law. And we break that law by making war upon each other, not living by the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If that was practiced, the world would be a different place. But that's a doctrine of the heart. And those get filled up with greed and selfishness, lose their connection. So we have no idea what will awaken our brother or sister when we talk to them. So that the one thing that we know that all human life responds to is kindness. Kindness is that ray of light. There's a little verse that in theosophy school we teach our children that come into it, and it's very simple. You know, children of light, as you go forth into the world, seek to do gentle service to all that live. That's very simple. And what does that mean? It's a heartfelt expression of our connectedness to all of life. We are so connected that we walk erect as intelligent beings through the organization, the unity of all of life. That very first principle, we cannot deny that life is a unity. It is all connected. Nothing, we're all connected. And we see that in the world today. The more the electronic age is proliferated, the more connected we feel or see, but the more disconnected we become. So we need to understand that we are spiritual beings and that we are a unity, and that universal brotherhood is a fact in nature. And it is for us to consider that idea and let it become evident to us so that we could further our understanding of theosophy. Because theosophy is a self-evident understanding of life. And that you are that immortal pilgrim. You are that eternal witness. You are not living for today. You are living for tomorrow. And we need to imagine that tomorrow. Because we are the creators of the world in which we now live in. So that means we can create a better world, a different world, through better ideas, more universal ideas, more ideas that unify rather than separate. Take that battle that we see proliferating in the outside world and turn it inward. And make that battle for the conquest of your lower nature. And to unify our very being. That is our journey. Our journey is to unity. That's where we're going. But we fight it. We have become selfish and separative. Aren't we happy? We know it. We know where we are. We see it. And I'm sure it frightens most of us. Because the world needs different ideas than what they are now proliferating. I keep on finding myself turning to the Dalai Lama, a simple soul with simple ideas. His religion, he says, is kindness. Be kind to one another. And we will see how quickly those walls of barriers will fall away. And we will see that we are united. Haven't we seen in the catastrophes of the hurricanes in this country alone, let alone the famines and the wars and the pestilence that goes on throughout the world? There's a need for unity because we are more alike than we are different. We're only different on the surface. The basis of universal unity is our identification with all of life. our identification with that unchanging aspect, which is ourselves, that witness, that perceiver. Become an observer to life and to yourself, and then try to become its master. And the Gita gives us all the tools that we need to bring that unity about. I've only scratched the surface of what the basis of universal brotherhood, or universal unity, I should say, is. I'm sure you have your ideas on what is the basis of universal unity. We'd like to hear them, SL.
So from a philosophical basis, we see that the basis of universal unity is our common spiritual identity. But practically, it's really based in the heart. This was pointed out. And we may find ourselves denying it or afraid of doing it or just not feeling it, even though we recognize it intellectually. So if we, as a scientist, were to take this idea and experiment it and act as though it would be true, as though it were true that we were all united, just try it, to act, to speak, to treat each other as with the idea that we'll test it, see if it's true. Would that have an effect on our inner nature, and what would that effect be? Even if we don't know if it's true, but we just want to try it out, see what happens.
Well, we would think it definitely would have an effect on us. We know when we are sad, it has an effect on us. When we are happy, it has an effect on us. And to treat everyone with respect and dignity, as do unto others as you would have them do unto you, wouldn't that affect ourselves? It would affect me. And I know it would affect you. Because if, as you said, if we operate it from the heart, and it's funny because the more we train the mind, the more alert it becomes. And because we have personalities, you know, that mind uses that personality to get energy, to get focus, you know, to become selfish, become the center of attention, become the focus of other lives. You know, so we only can look at our heart and judge it in three ways: selfish, unselfish, or selfless. Theosophy Hall?
So, unity. Hope and help for thee, that is what theosophy is. Mr. Judge was the only one present. We don't know for how long, it might have been years, after HPB and Colonel Olcott traveled to India. We wonder if one can be feel unity and be alone all by oneself. The few who come now bodily to Theosophy Hall is a small portion of those that are thinking along theosophical lines. And things ebb and flow in cycles. But if we don't think to ourselves, theosophy, hope and help for thee, and feel united each other. Feel like, well, we should not feel isolated, I guess we're saying. We should try to get over that feeling of isolation. Things ebb and flow. This room was full at one time.
Yeah. Well, theosophy is a hard pill to swallow. If you want to accept responsibility for your life and for your actions, that's a giant step, because many people don't. They push it away. And theosophy says that the idea of reincarnation and karma is the doctrine of hope, because it's just not one life. And here we are, are we alone? A few come, because things have changed for the moment. Change is upon us. We're in an age of transition. But it's like the towers where the bonfires were kept lit. Well, we have to keep the bonfires lit. We have to keep the fire going. And that, yes, it's sacrifice in many ways, because you want to do more and you want to see more results, but we can't. We can't look for the results. We can't look for them. The seeds are, maybe we're planting them now, or maybe we're cultivating. We don't know what we're doing right now, but we're just trying. So never give up hope. There's always tomorrow. And as long as we consider these ideas, our tomorrow is always brighter. Yeah, we saw, did I see a hand somewhere? JCS?
Well, it would seem that if we are only considering the external world, what we perceive as life around us, what we think we know is true on the basis of information coming at us from a multitude of sources, we're almost like Aristotle. We can get blinded by the trees, and we can get very deluded, because that all of that external is illusionary, isn't it? If we are meditative and pondering, whether we're in a crowded room or we're sitting for individual meditation, whether we're Zooming with a group, but we're pondering, we're turning mind and heart to inner spiritual reality, we're never alone. And we don't have to worry about counting or trying to quantify. We're trying to see results outside. If we're turning within, we're at one with the universe, we're at one with each other, and there is a spiritual reality that's eternal and which cannot be damaged no matter what we think we perceive with that.
Yeah, I would go back to what I said, what was said before, is that the heart has three modes of operating: selfish, unselfish, and selfless. And you see it. You see it in life, and you see it in your own actions. And it's your heart. And if you don't listen to your heart, your mind gets you in all kinds of trouble, because it thinks it's separate. It thinks it's separate from, your words are separate. Your words will, words inflict, or words can heal. So, you know, we are dynamic beings that are creating the world in which we live. So unity is the law. So how can we put it back together again? Theosophy Hall.
We have a comment here.
One of the things that we always think about in regards to unity and universal brotherhood is where it came from. And the fundamentals talk about the deific essence and how we are all sparks of that. And the fact that we are those sparks of the absolute, it's that binds us all together. That is a magnificent thought, that we are all bound together by spiritual natures. And we have that responsibility to study about that, to meditate on it, and to read about, you know, all the philosophy. And it's just that we often wonder if for some people theosophy might be too much work.
So did you hear that?
Yeah, well, this idea of the perfectibility of man is, it gives man back his dignity, gives back his purpose, gives back to man control. Not that the control was taken from us. We gave it away. We gave control away. That is control of our mind. But we have a chat here. So then the master's message is simple. We are within you and around you always. Embrace one another as brothers and sisters, for in unity lies our joy. Yeah, we could say that they would say something like that. I think that's beautifully expressed, is that, you know, we have to feel their presence. Okay? And what does feeling connotate? So heart. We have to be a generator. You know, our minds are generators of force. So what do we do to need to, what do we need to do to the mind? Make it charitable. Make it brotherly. Make it kind. SL?
Well, if, as was indicated in the next chat, that universal brotherhood is a fact in nature and it's founded in that philosophical principle that we're all united in that one supreme essence, why is it that practically the object is to form a nucleus of universal brotherhood? Why is, you know, when you think of a nucleus, you think of something isolated or not the whole, but just a very small portion of it. What's the importance of the nucleus? What does that mean practically to us?
Well, it's a beginning. It's a beginning, a nucleus. A nucleus draws things around it. The nucleus is a similarity of aim, purpose, and teaching. A basis for unity. You know, that we that there's certain ideas that are universal. And these ideas are what are missing from the world. You know, that very first fundamental. If mankind would embrace that and stop looking for the God without and look for the God within, the world would change. But man has become fascinated with the outside world. That's materialism. That's to be expected. But the light of brotherhood is lit. The flame is burning. And we see that flame. And it's our purpose is to help light other flames. Yeah, but you say, well, theosophy is only for those who want it. Yeah, it is. If you don't want it, you don't want to know the truth. JCS?
Well, this whole line of thought that's percolating here, that there's theosophists and there are these others for whom this is too much work, this is too much effort, they're blind. My concern is it sounds like that's divisive thinking. That better that we focus on intention and motivation and morality that we're generating. We trust in the law that as we generate that, because we are dynamos, there will be impress and this magnetic attraction to these ideas. And we trust the law that we're not looking for immediate results. We're not here to discern and judge the path of another or their ability to withstand responsibility. We have no idea the depth of someone's heart and what their intention and inclination is, what their search for truth is. As long as we generate the positivity and the force of universality and altruism and compassion, and we focus on that and sustain that, we trust the law that will empower and uplift the efforts of others, because we're at one with them internally. Our outer paths may look different, but it's not for us to judge.
Yes, that's a thought that's well taken. It seems that what we lack in this time is discrimination. And that is what we try to develop. We do not judge another, but we try to see the reality that exists. And that reality is that there are many who are not awake. There are many who do not want theosophy right now. And our duty as a companion is to do what we're doing, to keep these ideas before the public. And ever to be as humble and as inadequate as it may be, to be a light in our family, to be a light to those around us, to be of benefit, to be of aid. Try to do gentle service to those around us. Here we go. We have another chat. Because instead of a contest of smiles, this cycle emphasizes a contest of selfish styles. Therefore, some have not abolished self-centeredness because they have not received the fundamentals yet and remain in a state of ignorance. Well, there are those amongst us that don't believe in karma. But that's simply what it is. Cause and effect. They are oblivious. You know, but nature's awakening them. We all become awakened by nature, by karma. It wakes us up. Things, bad things happen, so worse things don't. You know, that we, that life keeps on giving us what we need to grow. Embrace it. Embrace. So, you know, that people who are self-centered have to have been deprived of the joy of community, of togetherness, of sharing of ideas, and being able to be in the presence of others without any reservations of ill will. Theosophy Hall?
Yes, there was another chat that was skipped over, and that is, if brotherhood is a fact in nature, why is there so much unbrotherly behavior by humans?
Well, I think we can, we all really know what that is. You know, that, you know, we live in a country that where luxury has become an obsession. That, you know, even those that have very little are walking around with bags or garments that are all, you know, maybe not real, but they give the representation of being very expensive. We live in a time of conspicuous consumption. We live in a time of great selfishness. I think HP said it was perhaps the worst times of civilization that has ever been this selfish. You know, that, but we have to remember where we are. We are at the bottom of the cycle, and we're now moving up and back into spirit again in our evolutionary journey. So things are changing. That's why it's stated that we are in this transition age, and the unbrotherly behavior will have its reaction. It will have its reaction, you know. We see the turmoil in this country because we fermented turmoil throughout the world in the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. You know, we have been involved in the world, in the world community, because we see that we are a world community. We are a unity. But darn it, that selfishness gets in the way. Yes, Theosophy Hall.
Yeah, we have a comment or a question, but we just want to interject before that, that universal brotherhood is a fact in nature, but that doesn't mean that people realize the fact. And if they don't realize the fact, then they're not, it's not a part of their being. They're not realizing it. Go ahead, Theosophy Hall here.
Well, with your comment is that there is a reaction on nature. I mean, the fact that you do not recognize it doesn't negate the fact that you don't reincarnate.
Right.
Doesn't negate the fact that you know, well, whatever, doesn't negate the fact.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
A comment here at Theosophy Hall? Go ahead.
To answer the chat about why isn't there, if it's a fact, why isn't there more brotherliness? Well, it's the Kali Yuga, it's the dark age, and everything, you know, there's high level of materialism. Things are kind of upside down, topsy-turvy. And luckily, it's the shortest of the cycles, and we can make greater gains during this period. But, you know, it's the dark age.
Did you hear the comment?
No, I did not.
Okay. The comment is, we're in a dark material cycle. It's the Kali Yuga. It's a dark age, but it's the shortest of the cycles. That's one thing to think about, perhaps.
Well, this is the great time to be alive, because we are needed upon the scene. This light needs to be shown. You know, we're here for a reason right now. We have to embrace that reason. You know, and we have to try to live the life. And that means the blending of the heart and the mind. You know, there's another comment here, chat. Oh, I'm sorry, JCS, you had your hand up before?
I was going to respond to that chat if you want to read it.
Well, go ahead. You're on it.
Oh, it's gone from my screen. Oh, most, there's a series now. The majority lack insight. Most cannot accept self-responsibility. Not my fault. Deny, deny, deny. And working with that chat comment, what comes to mind is we are the majority. We are dual. And that as students of this philosophy, when we look at the declaration to fit ourselves by study and otherwise, to be the better able to help and teach others, that's universal. Each of us probably can sit down and reflect on the number of times when we seem to be blinded to the light, we fall short of our aspirations and intentions. And from time to time throughout the course of the day, we ourselves as soul may lack insight. And why is that? Because we've been thinking from the personal point of view of the personality and the lower passions and desires, and blinded to or unaware of that higher impress of the soulful intention that we set in the morning. We all experience those cycles. We're in the process of trying to figure out what triggers them, how to nullify them. And so we share with the majority of souls in incarnation those same tendencies and traits. And in fact, we may feel the results of this lack of insight among the majority. We may feel it, and random thoughts may come through. But if we're self-aware, we know how to say, whoa, wait a minute, that's not a philosophical idea I want to generate or hold to be true. Where did that come from? And in that process, 24/7, as best we can intend to do it, what may affect and influence the majority can be mitigated and lightened. It's just an ongoing practice, isn't it?
It's interesting that, you know, insight. How do we gain insight? Two ways: spiritual knowledge or suffering. So, you know, that we may not be able to accept responsibility right now, but that doesn't mean that tomorrow we won't have that realization that, yeah, there is a cause and effect. SL?
There's that statement in the Voice of the Silence, beware of change. It's your greatest foe. And for those of us who were born in the 40s or the 50s, we've gone through more technological and social change than any other generation or group of generations that we know of in history. And the only way you can get through a period of great change is to find in yourself that which is changeless. And regardless of the insight we may think another human being may have, we can always point out to them the part of their nature, the witness, the observer, that doesn't change. Because all human beings are endowed with self-conscious awareness of that. And from that and conviction in that, we can begin to help others wherever, whatever condition they're in.
Yeah. Yes. You know, there's a chat that just came up while you were speaking. Isn't self-consciousness insight? You know, I think that's what you're saying is that's how we gain insight. That's how we gain control over our lower nature, by identifying ourselves with that perceiver, that witness, and try and bring that witness into our life more and more and more. You know, I mean, who doesn't want that witness to be present when someone yells at you or something terrible happens? Don't you want that person to be present, that witness, so that you're conscious and not thrown off by the emotions, by the change? No, because when change comes, it's coming. It's our attachment to that which is changing. So beware, because change is coming. You cannot stop it, because soon we will all be dead. Yep. And then we'll have a little rest, and we'll be back. Hopefully, we'll be able to hang out again in the next life. All right. And if not, we'll find you again somewhere along the road. So, you know, this basis, the chat, you know, it's very heart-rending that many people do not want to change. They become complacent. But then nature makes us change. And we should take that as, on one hand, a blessing, even though it may be a tragedy. And I'm getting the time out. We didn't mean to take up an extra minute of your time, but we would invite you to our meetings on Fridays and Wednesdays, and I'll just remind you that all the activities at the United Lodge of Theosophists, even on Zoom, are done on a voluntary contribution of time, service, and money. And all of us can participate. It's a way for us to be able to speak this language. We have forgotten it, so that we can speak it amongst our friends and in public. So with that, have a great day, great week. See you Wednesday.